Howdy, folks. Welcome to Career Corner. Before we jump into things, let's talk about weekly workshops. Are you looking for more opportunities to connect with the Career Center? Well, check out our upcoming programs on Engage for a weekly opportunity to build your professional skills. Hello and welcome to Career Corner, where we answer your career cues. My name is Lucas Kaufman, and joining me today, we have Mary McKean and Julia DiGeronimo to talk about careers in environmental science. Mary and Julia, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. Great to be here.
So let's jump right into it. We can start with Mary. What is your job and what do you do there?
Yeah, so I work for the National Park Service. I'm a project specialist on the planning team. So the Park Service is actually a really massive organization. There's over 430 individual park units. So that includes the big famous ones like Grand Canyon, Yosemite, and then a lot of really small units too, and partnership units. So I work on a portfolio of about 8 to 10 projects at a time. It varies a lot, but a lot of long-term strategic planning and facility planning for national park units.
Awesome. And Julia, how about you?
So over the summer, I worked as an environmental educator at a marine science camp, and I'm also a beekeeper.
Yeah, that sounds like you're doing some pretty cool work. What are some, both of you, examples of some work that you've done in this field so far?
I guess I'll just say that it was a kind of convoluted journey. I just pursued internships and jobs in areas I was really interested in. So I did a lot of seasonal work and environmental education, farm and wilderness-based programs for kids, which I started on in Ithaca, and ended up doing some conservation field research, so counting plants in Oregon, which was really interesting. And now it's interesting to see those threads of that like hands-on experience kind of implemented into our plans, because there's a lot of different threads that go into these long-term plans. So plan I'm working on right now, which is really big and kind of a headache, it's really difficult, is a Yosemite National Park's visitor access management plan. There's a lot of people trying to get into that park, and it's a really challenging thing to, you don't want to limit access, but also you have to protect resources. So those dual mandates of protecting the resource and allowing enjoyment and visitation, it's for an interesting project.
Yeah, for sure.
I've also done some seasonal work and different kinds of projects. I just graduated in May, so while I was at Ithaca, I was the head beekeeper for the apiary on campus, and that was probably like one of my most exciting projects. And then I also interned for the New York State Parks, which was just working on like different types of conservation projects.
So that a little bit kind of flows into our next question. We're talking about the environmental science careers. People, obviously a lot of people care a lot about the environment, but not a lot of people, you know, dedicate their lives and their careers to pursuing the environment and its protection. What got you guys into this field? And Julia, we can start with you.
Freshman year, I took a class called Environmental Crisis, and it just kind of talked about like all the different environmental injustices, and just not just climate change, but how there's so many other things as well. And it kind of just introduced this whole new world of environmental work and all the things connected to it. And that was kind of what made me want to do my environmental degree.
For me, I think I always enjoyed the outdoors and loved animals and nature and all that. So it was kind of a natural interest for me. There are many experiences at Ithaca College that definitely moved me in that direction. The two that came to mind, Environmental Sentinels was a really paradigm shifting hands-on class. And I was a TA for that the following year. So it was just really transformative for me and a type of learning I had never really had. That experience was really powerful, and I wanted to bring similar experiences to other people. So that kind of sent me in the direction on the path that brought me to where I am now. And then human environment geography was another class that I thought was super interesting. Just those global connections and how any little object or, you know, item that you can identify in the world can be traced like 1,000 different places. And so I've been really interested in that interdisciplinary element of working in the environmental field. And I think that was really formative for me.
So we've mentioned it a couple times already, but conservation work, why is it important to do this kind of work to conserve our natural spaces?
I think the main thing with conservation work is it kind of sheds light and brings protection to specific places or organisms that we don't really always think about. Conservation doesn't have to be like this gigantic project sometimes. Like a lot of the work that I did with my internship was very small conservation projects and just kind of has us focusing on different parts of the environment that might get overlooked or not necessarily thought about. And starting with the small stuff always helps into the big stuff. So I think that's important.
I feel like there's a lens of humanity that I always see connected with conservation. I think there's just something really intrinsic to being able to enjoy outdoor spaces. And of course, there's a lot of barriers to people being able to do that. Different, you know, economic, socioeconomic variables that make that challenging. So I think preserving the environment and increasing access to green spaces, it's such a pivotal element to the human experience, I think. And so working in that field feels really important to me personally. I know how much I've gained from time in nature and in the natural world. And so I find it really important to help bring that to other people too.
So I have a little bit of a heavy question here. We're talking about the environment and, 10 odd years ago, we passed what scientists call a point of no return our atmosphere and our environment. Even though we've quote unquote passed this point of no return, why is work in this field still so important?
Even if we won't ever get back to the original environment, there's still so much we can do to not make things worse or to just slow our footsteps and kind of like backwards a little bit instead of continuing to barrel out down on this path that we are already on. Like the more aware we are, the better we can prevent to what we've been doing and stuff, and being aware of our history and what kind of caused problems and how we can fix it and prevent that from happening in the future.
Yeah, I totally agree with Julia. I think there's that the lens of resilience, and you know, nature adapts all the time to climate challenges, and I think we'd have a lot to learn. And so by conserving ecosystems and different species, I think it's small steps for resilience for sure. And then also we're preserving a source of knowledge. There's this one quote I really love. A professor from Northern Arizona University shared this when I was on a river trip for a seasonal job. And he said that the thing that future generations are least likely to forgive us for is a loss of biodiversity. And I've always loved that. I think it's really powerful and it's really true. You know, we have this amazing library of life, and just to be able to experience it on this planet is, it's incredible. And I think, again, just to that point of like preserving this incredible, the incredible ecosystems and teachers that we have, I think it's really important for future generations to the extent that we can. And I think for me personally, just like knowing that I'm doing something, even if it feels really small, and sometimes it feels totally pointless and insignificant in the face of these overwhelming challenges. But in the long term, just knowing that, you know, for my career, I'm doing something positive in this sphere, it helps me get through, and I find it rewarding.
Yeah. And do you guys know of any programs here at Ithaca or outside of the college here that people can do if they want to get involved?
Yeah, I think something really great about Ithaca College specifically is they have a really great environmental department that does a lot of different kind of programs or volunteer stuff that you can kind of just like join. You don't have to be an environmental student, and classes as well. Mary was talking about Sentinels, and EMVS has a lot of like hands-on classes you can take that you don't have to be an environmental student, and you can kind of like get that experience. And there's a lot of different organizations. There's like Zero Waste Ithaca. Ithaca has our own educational apiary right behind the mail center. And It's like a research program through the environmental studies or science program that you can take. You need students need research credits every for their degree. And I needed some, and I didn't have like a specific interest or field that I wanted to go into. And one of my professors says that he works at the apiary, and I asked if they had any research opportunities. And so you could do like research or take the class, and I did. And then last summer I stayed in Ithaca, and I worked as the head beekeeper. And we have our own honey business. It's called South Hill Apiaries. We have our own honey business, and we do outreach with the local community. And Bee Fest actually is like just about to happen, or just happened, I think. So that's like an annual local outreach program, a community event that they do every year. So it's really cool. And if you ever want a tour, you can just reach out to Jason Hamilton's the professor, or anyone who is in the EMBS program. It was like the best thing I did at Ithaca. I think it was really fun. And I used to be like terrified of bees. So it was cool to like learn how to work with them.
Yeah, I'm definitely very afraid of bees. Do you have any cool bee facts you can tell us?
Specifically honeybees, there are three kind of like types of bees. There's the queen bee, the worker bee, and the drone bee. And about almost 90% of like the bee population is always female. So any honeybees you see, or not any, but a lot of the honeybees you see just flying around are mostly the worker female bees.
Very cool. Win for feminism.
Yeah.
So moving on from our fun bee facts, do you guys have any comments or concerns about climate change? And has that affected the work that you do or your plans for the work that you want to do in the future?
I mean, yeah. Climate change, it's an interesting conversation in the National Park Service. I'd say it's being integrated, and especially for long-term planning in a lot of our projects. And so it's an interesting time because really for the first time, we're having to have more conversations about like letting things go. Some of our resources are, you know, in areas where the sea level is rising a lot, or it's an old historic lighthouse, and it's just weathering more and more storms. And so it might not make sense to keep it anymore, even though it's designated as a historic site. So there's a lot of examples like that where we're trying to get more to like, how much do we fight climate change? Like how many seawalls can we build? How much do we reinforce these structures that are continuously flooded or just pummeled by climate impacts? And, you know, the same goes for like different species that might be in the founding legislation for a park, but are increasingly hard to protect as the environment changes. So that's just kind of a general theme, is that, conversations about what to keep versus what to let go. There's also this resist, accept, direct, it's called the RAD framework. And so that's just something I find kind of as an interesting framework that's definitely used in federal land management around how to react to climate threats. You know, you can resist them and try to protect, you know, whatever resource or site, yeah, you're monitoring against these really big threats. You can just accept that the change is happening, or you can sort of redirect in a different way. So yeah, I think it's a really overwhelming problem. And I think it requires a lot of creativity and an open mind to understand, you know, how we direct our finite resources to respond to it.
In my experience of where the places I've worked and stuff, it seems like it almost comes up like, because we have to change the way we do things, or our practices have to start being adapted because the behaviors of animals or organisms and the weather kind of changes, specifically in bees. Like we have to adopt different practices or kind of like our mindsets, just because things are changing as the climate affects everything. And sometimes I think it's kind of hard to not feel defeated by it, just because it seems like it's happening no matter what we do and stuff. But I think it's important to recognize that like small steps are important for anything, and even if we're doing a little bit of something, it's going to do something.
So you've both now mentioned you know, feeling defeated and really overwhelming challenges in this field. What do you do to kind of handle the adversity of that and any stress that might arise from these challenges?
I definitely dealt with those feelings of despair a lot more like earlier in my life around college age and a few years after that. But I think I've just learned to accept that some things are beyond our control and it's okay to feel sad and powerless. And, you know, it's okay to feel those emotions, but they don't have to dominate your life. And so just focused on being present. Definitely gotten more into meditation. I've done a couple like 5-day silent meditation retreats and just tried to integrate that mindfulness and gratitude into my life and kind of viewing it as an adventure and not a tragedy, right? Yeah, just being present for my experience and remembering to be kind to other people as much as possible and just connect to like what's within my control and try my best to let go of the things that aren't in my control.
Definitely, like as someone who tries to have live a sustainable lifestyle, I felt like I had to do everything that people say is, oh, this is how you be sustainable. This is how you treat the environment well. And I felt like if the environment was doing bad, it was my fault, which is obviously not my fault. So I kind of tried to focus on small things that I could do and focus on what I could control instead of kind of feeling like I had to do everything, like stop using plastic, eat a certain way, and instead focus on the things that I could do and try adopt smaller sustainable habits. And that has made everything feel a lot more manageable and not like this gigantic cloud that I have to worry about.
What are some other pieces of advice that either of you have for students interested in environmental science as a career?
Doing what you're genuinely interested in goes a really long way, I think, and no matter what you do in life, but in this field especially, like if you're showing genuine interest and like you really want to learn and just kind of trusting that path, I think you'll go really far. And I know that everybody has, you know, a different degree of a safety net of some sort. And I think a big challenge can be, especially in the environmental field, like internships that don't pay you anything or that pay you very little, right out of school. And so trying to navigate that, I think, can be a big challenge. I mean, for me, I had a few years of doing really, really super low paying jobs, but I got to live in cool places. And, you know, I made like $1,000 over the course of a summer, but I had a place to stay and, you know, they fed me or whatever, right? So I think just trying to understand like what you're able to tolerate in terms of security. I think that's important to like know your limits going into it. Follow your interests to the extent that you can. And that if you're intrinsically wanting to explore something, you'll go really far than if you're just pursuing, you know, what you think you should be doing. If you're able to take on a little bit of risk for a year or two after school and, you know, explore your interests, I think it can go really far.
Don't be afraid to try new things. Like, I feel like a lot of environmental things are intimidating because some people have so much experience in certain things, but I had like no experience in a lot of environmental things. And I just tried the stuff that seemed fun and interested me. And it's really taken me far.
I got some good advice. I was like going for my first conservation field work job. And I was like, but I haven't really done the science thing before. Like, I don't, you know, I'm probably not going to apply. Like, I wouldn't get it. And it goes my dad. He was just like, don't like not give yourself that job. Like, if you're not meant to have it, let them not give it to you, but don't cut yourself off before you even try. So I think that's really great, Julia. It's so true. Just go for it.
And then real quick before we have to wrap up our time here, we can start with Julia. What would you say your biggest achievement is so far?
I think just all the small skills I've gained from it and all the things I've learned. It's just introduced me to a lot of different things, kind of like beekeeping and just being able to go outside and do things that I might not have been able to do. I just see that as like big achievements.
I think like starting in environmental education, a lot of my most meaningful moments were there, just knowing that you really helped something click, especially for kids and even for adults who haven't really seen the natural world you know, with fresh eyes in a while. And some projects I've been working on recently connect really directly with social justice. I've been working with this organization, Rising Routes, and we helped fund this outdoor equity fund through the state of Colorado. So it's a $2 million grant program that goes to different environmental ed organizations or nonprofits that are focused on providing access to underrepresented populations. That was really awesome. And then also worked on this special resource study for the Emmett Till, Till National Monument in Mississippi. And that was really, really powerful, just learning about the history and going there and the significance of preserving that story and continuing to tell it. And there were a few other sites in Mississippi that we looked at as well that are kind of under consideration for protections now. So I just think that the interdisciplinary aspect, especially as it relates to social justice, has been really, it's felt really empowering. And it's just really humbling to be a part of that through the environment.
Mary and Julia, I wish you lots of success in your field moving forward. The National Park Service, Mary and Julia, with whatever you decide to do, I'm sure it's going to be awesome. That's all the time we have. Thank you so much for coming and joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's great talking to you.
All righty. Well, folks, you don't have to wait for our next episode to get career guidance. You can visit office hours every weekday from 11 to 2 in Mueller Faculty Center 101. I'm Lucas Kaufman, and this has been Career Corner.